Broadcasting statewide on the Golf Club Network, it's the Golf Club Radio Show with Danielle Tucker.
And you're in the clubhouse. Welcome to November. It is the 4th already, 2012, and we're starting off, yes, Hawaiian Airlines, the Palace Hotel in San Francisco, and the Golf Club celebrating our 15th anniversary with a flyaway. When you hear the jet sound, it's Hawaiian Airlines taking off for one of its destinations like Portland or San Diego or Los Angeles or Seattle or Sacramento or San Jose. And when you hear that, you dial 808-296-5467. If you're the ninth caller, you get in the drawing for a trip for two to San Francisco, four nights in the Palace Hotel. You're going to have a sweet time. I did. I just got back from the mainland. I was in San Diego at the Grand Del Mar. Beautiful resort, fabulous practice facility at the Grand Golf Club. Before we thank our sponsors, I just want you to think very positive thoughts and do anything you can for the people on the East Coast, Staten Island, Rockaway, so many communities devastated by Hurricane Sandy. We'll be back with our first guest, Sean Cox, the director of golf at the Grand Del Mar, after we thank our sponsors.
The Golf Club, sponsored by Poipu Bay Golf Course, 18 championship holes, visually stunning. Nature and Robert Trent Jones Jr. conspired to create a stunning venue for golfers of all abilities. A unique and unforgettable golf experience, Poipu Bay Golf Course, Kauai's South Shore gem. Star Protection, for property threat and risk assessment, protection for your home or business, for your concert or special event, like the Hyundai Tournament of Champions. Get the Star Team on your property. Star Protection is what you need in Hawaii and California. And by Princeville's Prince Course, magnificent by nature. Completely renovated greens, bunkers, and clubhouse. The Prince Course is offering Kama'aina Unlimited Saturday and Sunday play for just $99. Call 826-5001. Princeville's Prince Course.
Welcome back to the show. If you'd like to play a round of golf at Poipu, there's a 9:40, a 10:20, and a 12:30 available. Director of Golf at the Grand Golf Club, co-founder of the Grand Golf Performance Academy, the Grand Junior Golf Academy, University of Washington Hall of Famer on the winning National and Rose Bowl Championship football team, Sean Cox, welcome to the show.
Hi, how are you today?
Excellent, excellent. I want to thank you. I want to thank you for 2 days of lessons and golf and the best time. It was so much fun. You have a wonderful practice facility.
It's really beautiful, and we've got, you know, great private area so that you don't feel nervous when you're up there, and we can work on all your aspects of the game up in one area, which is nice. And we also got to spend some time out on the golf course together.
It was awesome. It was really awesome. I can't thank you enough, because Sean Cox, the director of golf at the Grand Golf Club, took me aside. He said, okay, let's start. And then he did exactly what I wanted always. I know a lot about the game. I've played for a while, a long time, but no one's ever given me a really from the ground up lesson. I mean, from let's start like Danielle doesn't know anything. And you did that for me. When you take a look at somebody's swing like you did with me, and then you use an iPad. Tell us about that.
Well, I use that for some video so I can see it before and after. But I like to, you know, find out a lot about the student as far as, are there any physical limitations? Is anything hurt in the past? You know, I've had people that come with back injuries and they had no idea that they could shift their weight and use their body. And I showed them ways they could do it where it didn't hurt.
Like me.
Yeah.
But I love the fact that it's so portable. That iPad works. And then what you did is you took the video of me, and then you took Lorena Ochoa.
Yeah.
And you put it, you go, now see the difference? And I'm like,
yeah.
Yeah, wow.
Yeah, you weren't shifting your weight, and I got you to start shifting your weight, and then you started picking up some serious distance, which is always fun.
Yeah, serious distance, and how about some really solid contact with the golf ball?
Yeah.
That made me feel So good. And you also, in the process of teaching me all this, you taught me a pre-shot routine. It's like you worked all of that in, the practice, the pre-shot routine. You have a really good way about teaching, Sean. How did you get into golf?
I actually played golf my entire life. My mom played golf at Arizona State and was in a high school state champion. So I was born into it. So we played my whole life. But I was also a big baseball and football player and was fortunate to play on a national championship football team and had a blast. But the day I got out of the college, I jumped right into the golf business. And I've been in the golf business for 19 years. And teaching is something that if you pour your heart into it, you can really make a big impact on people. And that's what's fun.
That is, and it's what you've put together with the Grand Golf Performance Academy at the Grand Del Mar. It's 7 acres of practice area, and like you said, there are practice bays, just like the ones that you see, all lined up and everybody's working out there. But for people who may be shy or want some privacy, I was amazed at the number of people I saw at the Grand Golf Course. I mean, seeing people like Lucas Glover and guys from the web.com tour working on special things that we'll talk about. And then that private area where you had me so that I felt like nobody was watching.
Yeah.
That was special. That was a very special. But you've put this together, this cutting edge technology on this world class facility. And I'd like to talk a little bit about some of the things that the tools that you have, and I don't know too much about it. We didn't really get into it. We didn't have enough time. What is the SAM, S-A-M, putt
it's
lab?
Science in Motion. It's a putt lab. It's a ultrasonic sensor that you put on the front of the club, and it can tell us basically everything you do in your putting stroke. Now, Daniel, what I've done is in San Diego, we have Titleist and Callaway, and we have TaylorMade and Cobra. And all these headquarters have the best technology in the world so that when their tour pros come to town, they can fit them for clubs, they can help them with their fitness, they can help them with their games. And basically, I replicated what you can get as a tour pro.
Wow.
And I brought that here to the Grand Del Mar. And so we've got the same type of putting technology. We've got a 3D system called the K-Vest that we can show people, you know, their sequencing of their swing. And we've got high-speed video, and we've got access to, you know, the different aspects of the, you know, the practice facility where we can show you your putting stroke out in the real world, and we can show you on breaking putts if you do something different than you do when you're just lining up for a straight putt. And so we've got access to all these things, and basically I want to treat you like a tour pro when you're here.
Yeah, okay, well, I know that when we started off our lesson, you took me straight to the putting green. And you taught me something that we've talked about on this show before, planar, putting on a planar surface. And you brought it down to the very, very basics. Everything is basically a straight line. It's on a flat surface, except for it's not flat. And
yeah,
you have to figure out what gravity's going to do. And you do that by figuring out where your high points and your low points are. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Well, you know, if everything was flat, it's really easy to know where to aim. But once the architect threw in some slope, he's going to have different sections of the green that kind of tilt in different directions. And the best way to kind of understand about breakings of putts is if you can find where straight uphill is. If you can find where straight uphill is, we call that 12 o'clock on a clock. And the bottom of the clock would be 6 o'clock. And we know that everything to the right of 6, anything between 1 o'clock and 5 o'clock, would break basically from right to left. And anything on the other side of the clock, from 7 to 11 o'clock, is going to break from left to right. So the art is trying to find that straight uphill putt. And that's what I was trying to teach you, is to get good at finding where straight uphill is.
Exactly.
And that's the whole key. And a lot of people don't understand, and they think that if somebody else is putting, it has no relation to what they're doing on their putt. But basically, they're showing you and they're giving you clues about where Straight Uphill is.
Okay, we're talking with Sean Cox, director of golf at the Grand Del Mar, the Grand Golf Club. You know, something else that Sean did when we walked up to the putting green, he said, okay, what do you do when you walk to the putting green? Are you looking at it? Are you, and this is part of speed of play, are you sizing it up as you move, as you walk up? Are you looking at the contours around the green? That was part of your teaching lesson, wasn't it?
I learned that from a golf course architect here in town. His name is Kerry Bickler, and he taught me that you always run your eyes around the fringe one time. If you run your eyes around the fringe of the green one time, you can start to see where the high point in the green is and the low point, and you can see some of the contours. And a lot of times when you're putting across the green, if you'll just let your eyes wander to the fringe behind the pin, it'll actually show you the slope of what the green is doing. And it's the best tip that I've probably got. I've seen the big picture. I've mentioned it at PGA meetings before, and golf professionals, they just look at me and they're in shock on how great that just paints the picture of the contour of the green.
Exactly. So we're working on the greens. Then we moved on to the full swing. But before we get to that, we need to take a quick break and come back. And I want to talk about the full swing, the custom fitting that you offer, complimentary for resort guests. And it doesn't matter whether it's Callaway, Titleist, Ping, TaylorMade, or Nike. We'll be back right after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
In the security business, trust is earned over time. That's why Star Protection Agency has grown to be the largest locally owned security company in Hawaii. We've earned a reputation as a common sense, highly responsive, cutting-edge security provider. Our clients know that we're watching out for them. We know that our fast response is what makes us a star performer.
And we'd like to thank our clients for their trust over the past 20 years.
Trust your security to the Star. Star Protection Agency.
Your AC runs year-round in Hawaii. Whether you're an office, store, building, or shopping center, your AC on the fritz can ruin your day and stop your business. Alakai Mechanical does it all, from AC sales to maintaining your AC, so it runs better and lasts longer. Alakai world-class professionals are using only the best parts to keep you cool. Protect your investment, from window system to cooling towers across Hawaii. Call Alakai Mechanical, keeping you cool.
Hoipu Bay on Kauai's South Shore. Come share our home where the Grand Slam was played. Robert Trent Jones Jr. saw the mountains and felt the sea. Sure, great vistas and greens most people only dream of. Take the day off or do business with a bunch of your best customers. Come join the fun and the aloha at Poipu Bay. Call us for your tea time, where great golf is played every day at Poipu Bay. Let's see. 40 yards to the pin, wind in my face. Where's my wedge? I saw this flop shot on TV. Oh, not even close. Now, back to Danielle Tucker.
Oh, it was great. I'm talking with the director of golf, the Grand Golf Club at the Grand Del Mar, Sean Cox, and Titleist Performance Institute certified. You are an athlete, and you really keep up your conditioning with circuit training?
I do. I do it regularly, but it's pretty golf-specific with a lot of stability, with a lot of lunges, a lot of twisting, a lot of cables. There's not a lot of, you know, worrying about how much I bench press anymore like when I was playing football. You've got to have, to play great golf, you've got to have great stability, and you've got to be also flexible or mobile. And your body knows that when you're going to be unstable. If it knows, like when we worked together, Danielle, I got you to do what I call a push drill. So you took a golf ball and you started at a dress and you just pushed it out into the driving range into a full finish. And the first few times that you did that and you got up onto your back toe, that was new because you hadn't been swinging through the ball that far.
Mm-hmm.
And so the first couple, you were a little unstable. And then as we did 4 or 5 or 6, 7 reps, you started to be able to be in balance. That's what we call stability. And the more we can get stable, our brain will actually let us start to swing the club a little bit harder and know that we're not going to get out of balance. And we know that the sweet spot on the golf club isn't very big. And if you're not in balance, you're not going to find the sweet spot. So if you swing hard and can't find the sweet spot, that's not going to be good. So I do a lot of stability training.
Yeah, you know, and what was interesting is about the back issues. You know, when you said to me I could hurt myself more not following through than the way I was playing because I was afraid, you said,
you were swinging flat-footed.
Yeah.
And so when you swing flat-footed, that means that your lower body isn't really rotating. And then if you use your shoulders and arms to try to create power somewhere in your back, because one lower part isn't moving and the upper body is, you're creating some torque on that back. And what I got you to do is by getting your hips through and getting your upper body together, both rotating through the shot and finishing the swing, you now put less stress on your back.
And it was, yeah, and I thought I was going to put more stress on my back until you put the... All right, I love the bag that you put in. What is that called when you...
Oh, the impact bag. And so I had you hitting the impact bag a little bit, and that brought back your old baseball and softball days. You started to actually use your legs because now... And that's a big thing about being an instructor. One of the questions I ask people, what sports did you play in the past? And some people played tennis, some people played some baseball, some may have been basketball. And I try to change the terminology of the, you know, what kind of motions and equate it back to what they used to do.
Yeah, and it all came, I mean, it was like you released the athlete in me to play golf. It was,
yeah. it was fun.
Yeah.
And you've got some power.
Now, yes, and I have to practice. I have to continue to practice so that I can use that power and consistently hit the ball. the drills you gave me for shoulder turns, everything, it was hip and shoulder rotation. It was perfect.
Yes.
It's so important if you take a lesson and really work with your instructor and then follow through. That's the most important thing. And sometimes, you know, going away from home, there's a little bit more freedom. You don't feel as constricted. And, you know, you people have fun when they're away from home. And going to the Grand Del Mar, it was a wonderful experience. To stay at the resort means you get to play. But if I'm not staying at the resort, can I still come to your practice facility?
You can. And you can come and get trained by us. We love people when they come in for 2 or 3 days at the resort and we work with them, because a follow-up lesson the next day is key to helping you actually go home and remember what you're doing. You know, we love one chance, but if we can get 2 or 3 days with you, you'll go home a new golfer.
Yeah, you worked with two women from, was it Korea? They spent 7 days with you?
Yeah, they were actually from China,
from China.
They came in and they worked for 7 days, and I trained them and actually took them up for one round up at Torrey Pines, which is real close to us. And we basically, they had such a great time. They came back and one won their club championship, and the other one, I think, might have as well. They brought their husbands back about 4 months later, and I trained all four of them.
That's fantastic.
And we had a blast.
Yeah, I understand why. So on one final note, on the custom fitting, if I bring my clubs with me, you will, at no expense, if I'm staying on property at the Grand Del Mar Resort, if I'm staying there and I've brought my clubs, and you guys determine that maybe those aren't fitted, because, like, I never had them fitted, you do that at no expense?
We do. We have a custom club fitter who had actually worked for one of the manufacturers before and had a full-time job as a fitter. And I brought him in to fit people for clubs. And he has got access to all the different manufacturers. So we're not, if let's say a Ping may look better than a TaylorMade or vice versa or a Callaway. You can choose what you want. And the great part about the clubs nowadays is they have interchangeable heads. You can take a wrench, a special tool, and you can try different shafts. And we can get the length of the shaft. We can get the graphite versus steel. we can get the perfect club for you, and then we have a launch monitor which will actually tell us your ball speed and your carry distance and all that to kind of confirm. And the other great thing is a lot of times we get fit indoors, and then we go and we get the set of clubs, and then we wonder what, you know, what's going to happen. Ours is outdoors, and we're using Pro V1 range balls, the same as you'd play on the golf course. They're not normal range balls. So everything, like I said earlier, we're mimicking a tour PGA player or LPGA player's experience if they went to Callaway or if they went to TaylorMade. We're trying to create that right here at the Grand.
Excellent job. Director of Golf, Sean Cox. You'll be on the show again with me, yeah?
Oh, for sure.
Excellent. Thank you so much. Thank you. Thank you. I can't thank you enough. The Grand Del Mar, Director of Golf, Sean Cox. Thanks for being on the show. Aloha. We'll talk again.
Thank you.
And we'll be back right after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
Magnificent by nature, Princeville's Prince Course on Kauai's spectacular North Shore. Renovated greens, bunkers, clubhouse, and more. They're now offering Kama'aina the chance for unlimited play for only $99 for the entire weekend. Golfers, is there a better way to spend Saturday and Sunday? Unlimited play on Kauai's Prince Course with your local ID. It's Kama'aina weekends. That's right. Play 18, 36, or more, both Saturday and Sunday for only $99. Call 826-5001 for tee times.
An ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. Call Star Protection Agency for your office building, shopping center, or construction site. Let Star Protection take care 24/7. They know what to do to protect your assets, or join the Star team. Need a threat and risk assessment for your business? Call 532-3911. 532-3911. Star Protection Agency, across Hawaii since 1991. Get Star Protection.
It's the Golf Club. Visit our website at www.radiogolfclub.com. You can hear previous archived shows. Just hit the listen button and pick the show you want to hear. Email Danielle with your thoughts and requests. Contact us about advertising and check out our sponsor links. That's www.radiogolfclub.com. Now, back to Danielle Tucker on the Golf Club.
Yo, Kama'aina, $99 gets you unlimited play at the Prince Course on the weekend. So there's a tee time, by the way, right now, 10:10, 10:20, 12:40, 1 o'clock. $99, unlimited weekend play at the Prince Course. Right now, joining us, Stockton Golf, a professional golfer, of course, PGA Tour veteran, respected instructor, and a really nice guy, Dave Stockton Jr. Welcome to the Golf Club Show.
Danielle, great to be on.
It's excellent. Well, it's so nice to meet you. And I'm doing my very basic lessons, which I desperately needed with Sean Cox. And you're there on the putting green, very close by, and I think I recognized somebody you were working with. Was that Lucas Glover?
Yeah, I was working with Lucas last weekend. Otherwise, I'd have been able to help you myself as well. But it was our first time working together, and I had him fly in Friday, and he stayed a couple nights there at the Grand, and had an experience a lot like what you had. I know everybody that stays there has an amazing experience, and he loved it too.
You know, it is a very special place, and I don't know. I met people, I saw people that who said, Danielle, you know so and so. It was just one of those. It was like kismet, you know. And
mm-hmm.
And when I wrote my column about it, I couldn't help but share that, because it's a very special location, the Grand Del Mar in San Diego, a wonderful place, a five-star hotel, five-star restaurant, five-star spa, and this terrific 7 acres of practice facility, and of course, Stockton Golf. When did you start working at the Grand Del Mar, out of the Grand Del Mar?
Yeah, last year. When we first, my dad, my brother, and I did a couple, Sean was gracious enough to let us come in and do a couple golf schools, my dad, my brother, and I, and And, you know, we've been going to San Diego forever. We have a family place up in Carlsbad. And when we got there, it was like, I think it's the same experience most people have that come there for the first time. They're like, oh, my gosh, this is stunning.
Yeah.
And from the hotel being the only five-star in San Diego to the restaurants, to the golf facility, to the course itself, the short game area. I mean, it's all over the top, and it's just it's a hidden gem. You don't know it's there, and you get there, and we had such a great experience there. You know, our business, Stockton Golf, has really taken off in the last few years, and I kept getting asked, you know, where's your school? Where are you located? And I didn't really have a good answer, mainly because I didn't have a place that I was really proud to say, yeah, this is where we're based out of. Early last year, I had talked to Sean and asked him, would he have any interest in Stockton Golf being affiliated with them, and specifically me being the one down there teaching. And he was totally on board with it, and went through Papa Doug Manchester, and he was on board with it as well. And it's been great. It's been an amazing experience. We're going to move full time down to San Diego when my kids get out of school in June. So in the meantime, I'm just doing back and forth driving, and every time I come there, I can't wait to. Every time I leave, I can't wait to come back.
Exactly, that's how I feel. Now I went online to StocktonGolf.com. Okay, and I couldn't help but notice this spot putting secret, mm-hmm. an instructional device developed by Stockton Golf, and I immediately clicked on it, and I went, what's the secret? Doesn't everybody want the secret?
It's funny because we're not big on devices, so that was a stretch for us, but it actually, everybody we've shown it to, from, you know, 20, 30 handicappers to guys like Dustin Johnson and Phil Mickelson and like that.
Yeah.
I mean, everybody's like, I love this. It's something. We're not, very few devices or things we're ever going to endorse or put out, but this is one thing that we're high on, the spot putting, picking a spot an inch in front of the ball. And this little device helps you do that.
Yes, because you know what? I overheard a couple of conversations over dinner, and I couldn't help but, when you said the spot an inch in front of the ball, I was like, okay, I'm going to try this.
Right.
And it takes the focus off the ball.
Right. Yep. It also helps take away the trying aspect of making that four-footer or that five-footer that's right outside the friendship zone that your friends are laughing at you because they're going to make you putt it. It simplifies it where if you just commit to what you see the ball doing, the line, et cetera, of where the ball, you see the ball going in the end, you come back to that spot an inch in front of the ball, and it's nothing specific. It's just an area an inch in front. You're always going to roll it over that spot.
And it's really good.
Yeah, it just simplifies it. You know, you don't have to try to roll it over that spot.
Yeah,
and my dad's got a funny line. He says I've never missed a one inch putt.
Okay, so this tool though, it's not it. You have to go to StocktonGolf.com, and you have to sign up. I did. It's the spot putting secret. Okay, and as soon as it's ready, you'll be notified and you'll get to see it because this is good. Now, the other thing I overheard when I was we were at a big table, right?
Right.
For Oktoberfest.
That was great.
It was great. So you were talking about the left hand.
Uh-huh.
And it being the most important facet. Tell us about the left hand in putting.
Well, the left hand is your direction hand. The right hand, if you're a right-handed player, your left hand's your direction hand, your right hand is feel. It would be opposite if you're a left-handed player, obviously. So for how I was always taught by my dad was the back of my left hand goes down my target line. If the back of my left hand, which is my direction hand, if it goes down my target line, the ball's going to go down my target line. Pretty simple. It's what we teach is it's not a release of the putter. We're not releasing it and flipping it. We're basically keeping a solid left hand with And how we do that is having a minimum of 4 degrees loft. And we like 4 degrees loft on the putter so we can forward press slightly. And then we maintain that wrist angle throughout the stroke. And so that's basically the gist of it, where and you can see guys like Rory McIlroy, Phil, Dustin Johnson, Nicholas Kolsarts, Yanni Singh, Brittany Lang, you know, players from all over the world that are doing this. And it just, it's the big muscles making the stroke. When you release a putter, that's the small muscles firing. And as we get older, our small muscles don't function a lot of times the way we want them to, especially under pressure. You could take an example of guys that were really, really solid putters when they were younger, and they're earlier in their career, Ernie Els, Retief Goosen, both U.S. Open champions. They've had to go to the longer putters as they've gotten older because their nerves aren't as good for whatever reason. And so they go to the longer putters to get it anchored and just, you know, make the stroke simpler for themselves. I look at my dad, he's 71. Yesterday was his birthday, he turned 71. And he's still as good a putter now as he was when he was 20. And it's the big muscles making the stroke. And it's a very simple stroke where the face of the putter basically stays square throughout the stroke. It's not an open and close face where that becomes more of a timing issue.
Okay. We're talking with Dave Stockton Jr., Stockton Golf. You can find him at the Grand Del Mar, the Grand Golf Club, and you go on the road too. Like if somebody wanted to do a corporate outing, and you can, would you come to that?
Oh, absolutely. That's kind of changed. We've made it a more of a hybrid, I guess you could say. It's a popular word nowadays. Most people, they ask me, where's your golf school located? Well, we actually, my dad and my brother and I, we'll go right to your own club, and basically, you know, our expenses are, you get pay our expenses, we come in, and for a much less cost than the person's going to pay for a plane ticket, pay for a hotel, come out for a couple days instruction, we'll come to your golf course, come to your club, and put on a 3 or 4 hour clinic. We do it a couple ways. We have smaller size groups, you know, max is like 20 people, with three of us there, because we want people to get the quality.
Right.
And we'll literally come in and do a short game and putting and mental school, and sometimes we'll do a group that's going to be, you know, 8 hours, basically 4 in the morning, have lunch, 4 in the afternoon. That's a big one. We did one of those. My dad and I did one of those in New York this past summer. But then the real popular ones seem to be where we come in and do, you know, 3 to 4 hours in the morning with a group of anywhere from 12 to 20. And then in the afternoon, another 3 or 4 hours with another group of people. And it's not a sensory overload deal where you're spending multiple days. Most people don't have multiple days to use. So we come in and kind of give people 6 months of, you know, I wouldn't say 6 months, but it's quite a few months of lessons wrapped into a few hours. But at the same time, it's simplifying the approach. And one of the things we stand by is you come and work with us, regardless of your talent level, we'll take 3 or 4 shots off your score very quickly.
And then we're going to talk about the books, the unconscious putting, unconscious scoring. But before we go there, I want to come back to Phil Mickelson.
Uh-huh.
And I want to talk a little bit about how he toys with various putters and grips and things. Is he just a tinkerer?
Yeah, he's always done that. And he's always constantly thinking about ways, you know, he's always thinking of ways he can do things a little better. He's not one to settle, and he likes to try different things. 4 years ago, when we first started working with him, I showed him that claw grip, and ironically, he was like, "You can't putt like that and teach. There's no, you can't do that." And he was giving me a hard time. And then he ends up putting like that, you know, this year and having success. I don't know if he'll stick with it. He seems to change quite a bit, but the one thing that claw grip does do is it allows your direction hand, which for him would be his right hand, to work, and the left hand feel, fingers, if you're a right-handed player, your feel is in your thumb and index finger of your right hand. And if you look at the grip that he has on the claw, that thumb and index finger are the two fingers that are really the only thing on the putter with that left hand for him.
It makes sense, because then you keep those three fingers busy doing their job. That allows those two fingers to be the feel.
That's right.
Yeah. Now, your position, if I may ask, I mean, Arnold Palmer came straight out on Golf Channel the other morning drive, and said, anchored putter away.
Yeah.
What is your feeling on the this decision is going to be coming up soon?
Yeah, I always thought all along that it never should have been legal. I don't know where in the rules it actually says you're allowed to anchor stuff. I just think, I don't know. I think that, jokingly, I think there were a lot of guys in the USGA on the board that couldn't putt, and they thought, man, I can putt better with this. Let's make it legal. And I don't think they had the vision to see going forward the number of, it really didn't become an issue until guys started winning major championships. Oh, and now we got to change it. You look at the top 20 putters on the PGA Tour, top 20, top 30. I don't know if there's any of them in there with a belly putter.
But you know what scares me is when somebody like Wan Tang Ling, who is about to win the Asia, maybe he has,
right.
I have, right? He's 14.
Yep.
And he's anchoring the putter.
Yep.
It's not like he's got nerves. I mean, I hope not, right?
No, I think you're seeing what you're seeing now, and I think, I could be wrong, I think Webb Simpson has always putted with a belly putter. I could be wrong with that. And also Keegan Bradley, although I know Keegan's been practicing with a short putter as well, and he still putts great. It is a can of worms. The USGA is going to have a giant headache, I think, on their hands, whatever they decide, if they decide to ban it or, make a rule. Who knows what they're going to say? They may say you can't have the putter be, it has to be the shortest club in your bag. That could be one way they say it. They say you can't anchor it to your body. Well, Martin Laird, who I worked 3 years with, he uses a belly putter. He doesn't anchor it. He keeps it floating about an inch away from his belly, mainly because I think he doesn't have a belly right now. He's only 27.
I have a feeling that the length won't be such a big deal. It's how you use that length. If you put it against your body. But
right.
Then again, if I love people on television who say, you know what? He touched something with his, club. So
yeah.
There's going to be those calls. I saw him put that long putter up against his body.
Right.
It's just like you said, a can of worms.
Yep.
All right. On you also, from what I understand with Stockton Golf, and we're talking with Dave Stockton Jr. over at the Grand Del Mar, the Grand Golf Club, where you can go and take a lesson with Dave Stockton Jr., visualization and unconscious putting. Now, that visualization, what is unconscious putting? Let me get right to it.
Well, it's basically getting out of your own way and putting with feel. Unconscious putting is as simple as if you have a piece of paper there, sign your signature. Just sign your name like you've done a million times.
Okay, just
that's it. In your subconscious. That's you just subconsciously signing your name. Now, underneath that, Danielle, I want you to copy that signature, but I want you to take 10 or 15 seconds, go real slow, and make it look the same.
I can't.
No, everybody starts laughing. It looks terrible. It feels terrible. And yet, what we tell people and what we show people right away is that's people being too busy in their mind over the ball. And most people, the closer they get to the hole, the more they tend to think, the more they tend to try. And the thing with this game of golf, this wonderful game of golf, is the harder you try, the more frustrated you're going to be. And what the unconscious side is you just coming up, basically visualizing, trusting, and letting it go, which is that first signature.
Uh-huh. Okay. All right. And bow it now to your the books, The Unconscious Putting, Unconscious Scoring. Those are available for Christmas. And I found on your website you can get them autographed or personalized, right?
Absolutely. Yeah, it's whatever anybody wants. We can handle it.
That's awesome. And they're become gift wrapped for people who aren't into the gift wrap thing. So
right.
Unconscious putting, unconscious scoring. That's the most recent. Both available at StocktonGolf.com. I noticed that your dad is going to be at the 2012 Bighorn Institute Golf Classic in Palm Desert.
That's right.
That's very cool. It's a fundraiser for Bighorn Institute's research and conservation. That's like the Bighorn sheep, right?
That is, yeah. It's a great organization, nonprofit that we've been a part of for a long time. My dad's been a part of it for 30 years now, and there was a time back when the desert bighorn sheep, the peninsula bighorn, which runs all the way down Baja California, they had contracted very similar to our AIDS virus, a disease from domestic cattle that was killing them off, where they were basically going to be no more in the Santa Rosas.
Wow.
And they are indigenous to here, and the institute developed a vaccine that not only cured it and brought the numbers back up, but has just done a wonder for the whole area. I mean, we'll see the sheep. You see them when they play the Humana Challenge, you know, the old Bob Hope, the sheep come down on the golf course.
And, so cool.
It's pretty neat to be playing 18 holes and there's a bighorn sheep looking at you.
As long as he doesn't think that you're going to try to go get his girl.
Yeah, it's not good. He has a big set of horns that would not be a good move.
Dave Stockton Jr., Stockton Golf at the Grand Del Mar. Thanks so much for being on the show.
Danielle, thanks for having me on again, and it's always a pleasure.
Absolutely. We'll do it again. And
you got it.
We'll be back right after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
Poipu Bay on Kauai's South Shore has reopened to rave reviews. Come play our newly renovated greens. Bring the family. Invite some friends. When you stand on that tee box and see that view, you'll know why Poipu Bay makes any day special. Come join the Aloha. Visit our pro shop and take home a memory at Poipu Bay, where golf is played. Call 808-742-8711. Your tee time is waiting.
In the security business, trust is earned over time. That's why Star Protection Agency has grown to be the largest locally owned security company in Hawaii. We've earned a reputation as a common sense, highly responsive, cutting edge security provider. Our clients know that we're watching out for them. We know that our fast response is what makes us a star performer.
And we'd like to thank our clients for their trust over the past 20 years.
Trust your security to the Star. Star Protection Agency.
Our company has been in business more than 30 years, and we depend on Alakai Mechanical for everything. They maintain our air conditioners, sheet metal on our new roof. They just installed our new commercial kitchen. Doesn't matter if you're big business, a condo, or mom and pop store. If you want your job done on time, on budget, and done right, do what we do. Call Alakai Mechanical across Hawaii. The best minds in air conditioning, plumbing, and sheet metal, that's Alakai Mechanical.
Off a tree, hit a rock, and bounce next to the pin. That's my kind of golf. Now, back to Danielle Tucker on The Golf Club.
There she goes. Hawaiian Airlines to Portland, San Diego, San Francisco, Los Angeles, Seattle, Sacramento, San Jose, New York City. Hawaiian Airlines, Palace Hotel, and the Golf Club, of course, celebrating our 15th year on the air. And when you hear that jet sound, which you just did, Hawaiian Airlines taking off for one of its destinations, you got to call 808-296-5467. Start calling now, because you will qualify to be in our drawing. You will win for two round trip, okay, between here and the West Coast. I don't know, if you want to come from the West Coast to here, that's fine with me too. But if you go to San Francisco, which is where we're going to be providing you four nights at the Palace Hotel, now is the time to call 808-296-5467. I had the most wonderful time, and I recommend that you go to San Diego and discover the Grand Del Mar. I want to introduce you to executive chef, award-winning Addison Restaurant executive chef, a Forbes five-star restaurant for 4 years running, AAA five-diamond restaurant, three stars from the LA Times, and This executive chef plays a mean game of golf. Welcome to the show, William Bradley.
Hello, thank you for having us.
Absolutely. Hey. I can't tell you how much I enjoyed. Your style is unique. I mean, I was watching everybody, you know I'm a vegetarian, but I'm watching everyone having their dinner, and they're having prawns. They're obviously prawns. And they're having steak. Obviously, it's a steak, and it's beautifully cooked. But you have this unique presentation and a wonderful style. Where did you develop that?
Well, obviously, in cooking, and the repertoire of dishes as you grow as a chef becomes very, very focused for you. And when that term, I find that you develop a style over years of understanding what it takes to make something very unique. So it's maybe it's a gift that life has given me, but it's something that we really focus on, and we really try to be different in our approach to things that people are very familiar with.
That was the beauty of it. You know, there was nothing I didn't unrecognize, although I'm an adventurous kind of spirit, and it wouldn't scare me. But and the presentation and the taste, the herbs and the vegetables, everything is... Do you have your own... Do you grow your own vegetables, your own spices?
So what we do have at the property, we have a great area that we do grow a lot of the herbs, finishing a lot of the plates on the property. And we are in the process of looking at maybe doing a nice biodynamic garden there on property. We've been in the process of doing this. And it's very important to us to have things that are at the highest quality. And for many years in cooking, you seek out the best purveyors of all products. And a lot of them we do, since we are in Southern California, have amazing availability of products in season. So it's something that we'd like to have on property, but it's also something that we do have in our own backyard with all the small local farmers we do have around. So.
Do you go shopping? Do you go to the markets and find the vegetables, check them out?
Sure. Occasionally we do. When the seasons do change, we do have a lot of dialogue with our farmers. And then we also have a gentleman that does an amazing job. He goes up to the Santa Monica's Farmers Market because they have a big variety there as well. And he brings us down a lot of things. So there's a huge relationship. It's probably 75% of our time as a chef is really nurturing those relationships with our purveyors to allow that we can cook something at a very high level that is really pristine and sustainable.
Your influences, a little French with Southern California.
Sure.
Where did that start?
Well, my repertoire of cooking and my basics of cooking do come from classic French roots. I mean, I think that's where we've all, our styles have evolved from. It's the real root of all cooking at a high level is the French technique and the way they approach food and the celebration of the harvest. So obviously when I started at a very young age, this was the grounds of who I was. And then from there you evolve and your surrounding Southern California has a real light influence, a lot of acid, simple herbs that really make things impactful on the plate in terms of flavor profile. So Southern California has a lot of influence. I do also admire umami, which is the flavor profile that you find in a lot of Asian food. That's very earthy and savory. I find that's a very important element to my cooking as well now.
Interesting. So you're incorporating and always growing and changing. And I have to tell you that I did a little bit of background and a little bit of research. You are a cookbook collector.
Oh, yes, yes. I have a huge respect for these very, very old traditional cookbooks. Some of the best cookbooks I've ever had, I get in, and you know, these small little bookstores, it's a book that costs $9.95. It's, you know, from the 1940s in France. It's more about the... I'm really intrigued by the history of cuisine and really understanding that it's all really been done. It's just how you do it now in the modern world that makes it special. And it's just really amazing to see some of these books that, you know, because they don't have pictures, people don't pay much attention to them. But if you actually read them, they're very insightful and really inspiring.
Some people are intimidated by recipes because they seem so complicated.
Sure, sure, sure. And that's something that we look at in our restaurant. I mean, a recipe is really a guideline to the awareness of what needs to be done. But at the end of the day, if you learn the real basic techniques, as in, you know, roasting, deglazing, baking, things like this. Grilling, for instance, is also a technique that people look as it's something you do for a barbecue. It's still something that can be done at a high level. You shouldn't be intimidated by a recipe, because at the end of the day, you're the chef, so it comes down to really more of the soul and the feel and how the ingredients are reacting. But the recipe, this is there as a guideline, and essentially, and then really your link between the product and the final product that you put down in front of the guest would be, you know, obviously tasting it through the process and making sure it's something that you're very excited to serve.
We're talking with William Bradley, executive chef, the award-winning Addison Restaurant, 5-star restaurant, exquisite cuisine. I really enjoyed my dinner with you.
Well, thank you.
Your presentation, your portions, the taste, everything complemented. It's obvious why you have a 5-star restaurant. You're so good. Your kitchen. Somebody told me it's the Maserati of the Grand Del Mar.
Sure, it's very important. Like golf, you know, it's your equipment, and I feel that it's something that, you know, myself and Tom Voss, the president of the company, he's obviously German, and he has a background in kind of structural engineer sense. And you know, we kind of sat down and collaborated on the kitchen, and you know, what it evolved to is really a work of art. It's very functional and also very, very, very sleek looking. And it's a showpiece. It's something that we like to, you know, bring our guests into, you know, pre-dinner or post-dinner. They like to come in, see the kitchen, interact with the chefs, and feel as it's really part of their meal. So it's something that we do like to showcase at the restaurant.
It's great. I felt honored to be able to come in and see. Now, you know, so many of us watch the television and we see the cooking shows and
Right. Everybody's
yelling and screaming, which seems a little excessive. What is your kitchen like?
Well, our kitchen is very, very, very zen and quiet. I think over the years we've developed a very relaxed, focused group of chefs that are very, very involved in the whole process of executing food.
Mm.
They're involved in the process of understanding the ingredient. They're part of when the delivery comes in, they see it. So they're really involved in the whole process, which I think makes them very confident and relaxed, which then the environment in the kitchen is very focused and very zen-like. So people are focusing on creating memories for our guests.
Yeah, it probably makes the food better, too. I mean,
sure. It tastes better when you're focused and not being yelled at.
Yeah, exactly. You're not frightened, and all that fear
Right. Goes
into the food. Now, Turkey's coming up, and you were talking to us after dinner about preparing turkeys. And I had no idea. I wasn't thinking about what you know, I learned so much. And do you mind sharing a little bit about that?
Sure. Obviously, Turkey Day, as we call it, is a very amazing time of year because the seasons have changed. It's now fall. You're thinking of all the different fall ingredients. And sometimes, you know, depending on where you go, turkey can be intimidating. It's a large bird. You only get it one time a year. It's not like you're having practice with cooking at this. So your repertoire of cooking this actual bird can be intimidating.
Mm.
So what we recommend in terms of really getting that turkey that's extra special is, first of all, brining it. There are tons and tons of different recipes you can find online, in books, for brining poultry. It is really, really an amazing technique to where you're basically penetrating the brine liquid into the turkey, so it's actually helping as a flavor enhancer, and it also really encapsulates the moisture in the turkey. So from there, again, you can find these different ways of brining online,
uh-huh.
And then we highly recommend you do brine. And then when it comes to actually roasting the turkey, we recommend that you make your stuffing and do that separately, like in a casserole dish. You bake it in the oven, so that itself is not taking the actual moisture out of the turkey when you actually stuff it in the cavity of the turkey, which is the more traditional way. So we don't recommend that. We recommend doing that on the side. But what we also recommend is very important is understanding that the leg meat with the joints and the sinew and all the other muscle and area in that leg will cook a lot longer than actually the breast meat. That's a little bit less fat, less tissue. So we recommend separating them, separating the actual breast meat from the leg meat, and then obviously roasting the leg meat longer and then applying the breast meat halfway through the cooking. So when they all come together, the leg meat is cooked through, and it's very moist and has tons of flavor. And then the breast meat itself is in the same profile in terms of very, very flavorful, very tender. Because usually what happens, the old method, you would actually check the inside of the joint of the leg to see if it was at the perfect temperature. By the time that reached, you know, perfect temperature, the actual breast was dried out and overcooked. So it's something that we do recommend, roasting it separately.
Excellent. And so what you're saying is putting the stuffing inside the bird and baking it actually takes the moisture from the bird and sucks it into the stuffing.
Right, that's why everyone always has second, third helpings of stuffing and maybe just a little bit of turkey with extra gravy. Gravy actually brings the moisture back. So again, it's just one of those, just a small shift in understanding how things react to heat and cooking that really makes a big difference at the end. And it is easier to carve once it's all off the bone and
yeah,
all that part already.
Yeah, William Bradley, executive chef, award-winning executive chef, award-winning restaurant, Addison at the Grand Del Mar. Real pleasure talking with you. Thanks for being on the show.
Well, absolutely, and then we look forward to talking to you again. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Have a wonderful day.
We'll be back right after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
Magnificent by nature, Princeville's Prince Course on Kauai's spectacular North Shore. Renovated greens, bunkers, clubhouse, and more. They're now offering Kama'aina the chance for unlimited play for only $99 for the entire weekend. Golfers, is there a better way to spend Saturday and Sunday? Unlimited play on Kauai's Prince Course with your local ID. It's Kama'aina weekends. That's right. Play 18, 36, or more both Saturday and Sunday for only $99. Call 826-5001 for tee times.
Your AC runs year-round in Hawaii. Whether you're an office, store, building, or shopping center, your AC on the fritz can ruin your day and stop your business. Alaka'i Mechanical does it all, from AC sales to maintaining your AC, so it runs better and lasts longer. Alaka'i world-class professionals are using only the best parts to keep you cool. Protect your investment, from window system to cooling towers across Hawaii. Call Alaka'i Mechanical, keeping you cool.
Yeah, yeah, a mongoose stole my ball. What's the rule on that?
Let's get back into the clubhouse with Danielle Tucker.
Welcome back. You know, our 15th anniversary celebration, the flyaway is underway, and our first qualifier is Wesley Kira of IAEA. You're in the drawing, Wesley, and of course we're going to get a lot more, including one more today. So when you hear that jet, write down 808-296-5467 so you don't have to wait for the number. When you hear the jet, start calling. 808-296-5467. And at Poipu, they've got 25% off the sale rack. So you need to go over to Poipu. Wonderful golf course. If you haven't played Poipu, you're really missing out. That's on the south shore of Kauai, and they've got a great sale. In fact, I've got some tee times for you. There's a 10:20, a 12:30, and a 1:30 at Poipu Bay, and 25% off the sale rack. Gorgeous place, you know, and you find different climates, different ecology. I can't think of the word right now. But naturalist Dylan Jones will let us know. At the Grand Del Mar, an authority on sustainability and environmental issues, it's a 4,100-acre Los Peñajitos Canyon Preserve, unique geology of the region and the area's indigenous flora and fauna. Passionate about it, welcome to the show, Dylan Jones.
Hi, Danielle. grateful to be on the show. Thank you.
Absolutely. Now, I got to tell you, I love horses. I love dogs and cats and just about anything. I had a menagerie when my son was growing up, including four horses. And I bonded with one, Cody, over at your lovely equestrian center. And I was able to go out on a ride. And, of course, I was on the golf course, too. But on the ride, you kind of get more of a sense. But one thing I did notice, okay, Cody was very good about not eating on the trail. You know, you got to make sure they don't. But it was almost impossible to keep him away from the white sage. That stuff must be really tasty. Is that indigenous?
It is, yeah. That plant is prevalent in the canyon there, as you saw, and Cody couldn't keep away from it. And interestingly enough, you know, humans have had a tough time keeping away from that plant. That's a plant that's been used not so much for cooking, but in a lot of ceremonies. So it's a very significant plant. And as you found out, very pungent as well, right?
Yes. Yes, a very I had no idea that thyme grows wild in California.
Yeah, and this particular sage is actually in the mint family, but it's that beautiful, beautiful smell that you get from not only that sage but several other varieties that you find there in the canyon. And that's one of the part of what we do is you can experience the outlying areas around the property on top of a horse or on a bike or hiking. And we just try to bring that connection between what you're looking at, you know, material that's been there, of course, for forever, and what significance it has. And you've pinpointed one that really has a lot, that beautiful white sage.
Yeah, it really is not. I couldn't understand why this creature wanted so desperately to eat that. And then I didn't recognize it. I didn't know what it was. So that was why I got to ask Dylan Jones, the naturalist at the Grand Del Mar. You have 37 miles of hiking. You take people on hikes and give them like a tour of what they're looking at?
We do, and you have that opportunity out on the golf course as well to really commune with your surroundings. And what we're doing on these hikes is getting people outside and connected with that environment so they understand it. And my personal goal has always been you get people to understand things and they look at it a little bit differently and they're better stewards of it. And that's certainly the case when we can get folks out into this canyon environment and take a look around. And it's a beautiful mix, Danielle, of not only the ecological plants that you mentioned, but the animals that live in the canyon area there, and the pioneer history, both the Native American history and rich pioneer history that you get when you go and experience that canyon, which, by the way, is just to the you got a feel for it, I'm sure, when you were here, but it's just to the south of it's the next canyon, just to the south of the beautiful canyon that the Grand Del Mar is tucked into, which is known as Shaw Canyon, and that the canyon you brought up here that is a preserve is 4,000 acres, and yes, you're right, 37 miles of trails that you can experience in a number of different ways. So right out the doorstep of the resort.
Let me take care of this real quick. KPUA Hilo, KGU Honolulu, KONI Lanai City, KTOH Kalaheo, KTOH FM1 Princeville. When you take people on hikes, I said 37 miles, scare them to, yeah, you guys don't
actually. We won't do that all in one trot, no.
What is your average, what kind of a hike do you go on or take people on?
Yeah, I just finished a hike with the lovely group of guests at the property that we just did 4 miles, but we'll range anywhere from 2.5 to 4. That's a good mileage that you can do within an hour, hour and a half, under 2 hours with the 4 miles, and still getting a chance to stop and really soak up the environment.
Yeah. Okay. That's nice. And then you could also, if you want it, you can take bikes. Because a lot of people like the biking experience, you know, off-road biking. Do you have bikes? Grand Del Mar has bikes?
Virtually most of the trails that you've mentioned are multi-use trails, and they you can use a bike, a mountain bike in that case.
Cool.
But road biking here is equally as spectacular. So both on and off-road, the road biking here, as it is in Hawaii, is just magnificent. So you've got stretches along the coastline here. And also beautiful interior stretches that you can ride, that you can cycle. But my particular interest is getting folks out on the mountain bike so that you can get into areas that you normally don't see. And then we get off those bikes, and you're not hiking as far, but we can get 6 miles in on a bike and get off those bikes, and then hike into a location, and it's much easier that way. So we certainly can combine that as well.
You know, someone brought up, Marguerite brought up over dinner, microclimates, and I'm not really familiar with that. I was wondering, what's a microclimate that you'd find in Los Pianosquitos? Did I even come close to pronouncing that correctly?
Los Pianosquitos, you did.
Okay.
Very well.
Okay.
And you might wish you never asked me about microclimates, but here it goes. So,
okay.
So first of all, we have a very unique climate, and ours are somewhat similar and quite a bit different. Your climate obviously is driven very much by the ocean and the climate that the ocean provides. And in our case, we are in a very unique climate zone that's called the Mediterranean climate zone. There's a handful of these across the globe. I won't bore you with all that, but they're in similar latitudes, both north and south of the equator. But they all incorporate deep ocean currents and the cool water that comes up from the depth of that ocean. And that coolness spills out over a very warm land, in this case, quite warm inland, but when you get right on that little ribbon, that edge of the coast, you have this Mediterranean climate zone, and it is very unique because there's only a certain group of plants that can survive there.
Oh.
And the geology certainly is carved by that, and the rain that comes from that climatic flow, again, driven by the ocean. And then you have, to answer your question, within that you have microclimates. And it depends on your elevation and where it sits and all and those sorts of things. And our golf course superintendent, David Yonath, does an amazing job. He's constantly battling those microclimates, but it's also, I think, a game that keeps him quite interested in what he does. So certain parts of our golf course, as an example, have different climates. And depends, again, is it low part of the canyon? Is it a higher part? What time of year is it? And that sort of thing. But temperatures can range as much as 20 degrees, if you can believe that, on a given winter morning.
Wow.
In a low portion to a high portion. And so you can imagine what he has to do with the grasses. But it's in this beautiful spot where we get the moisture from the ocean, and then when that draws back, we get very, very warm, dry conditions. And so he's got to make that grass work under those microclimatic conditions. And it's really fascinating.
I imagine local knowledge on the golf course and how you hit the golf ball, it would be critical because the temperature change and the moisture in the air will affect the ball flight.
Oh, absolutely. You're up on his, you know, Bermuda grass in a fairway, hitting down into a deep canyon, you know, early in the morning, and you've got a green that's going to be a whole lot different than that fairway that you hit from.
Yeah, that it's a beautiful golf course. Now you do something that we do in Hawaii too. You have, because we've have, you know, a lot of our habitat has been destroyed. Feral pigs. I love pigs. Had a pig, pet pig, but a razorback. You know, they're just creatures. They can't help it. You have an annual habitat restoration project on Earth Day. That's when everybody from the Grand Del Mar gets together and helps you clear out the stuff that shouldn't be there?
Yeah, and it is similar to the kinds of things that you're dealing with, regardless of whether the influences are animals that weren't originally there, and in this case, plants that weren't there early on that are what we call invasive. So they have an easy way of taking over the native material. And if
we
they do
that,
then that means the critters that love that stuff have a tough time. So yes, beautiful volunteer group of folks get down in there and get rid of that invasive material, which is probably the most laborious part of the whole thing, and then come in with the native plants. Following native plants, once they get established, here come the native animals again that enjoy those things. So it works quite well. That whole picture of habitat, whether it be on the ribbon of a golf course, or in areas that can be restored like this canyon, such a critical thing to maintaining integrity, environmental integrity, in locations like yours and ours. And it's not easy all the time, and these guys have worked hard to get not only our group, but many other groups to get these plants out and then the good stuff back in. And and of course controlling animals as well, as you mentioned there.
We have the same problem with plants. They just, it's amazing, the ones that don't belong here thrive and they just take over everything, and you have to go in and I like that, you go in, take out the stuff that shouldn't be there, plant the stuff that belongs or that's indigenous, and then nurture it so that it can take hold and has a chance to come back again. Dylan Jones, naturalist, the Grand Del Mar. Thanks so much for being on the show.
My pleasure, Danielle.
Aloha. Bye. We'll talk again because you have a wealth of information that we need to get.
Look forward to it. Aloha.
Aloha. We'll be back after this. We're going to enjoy wine with Angelo Ingrati from the Grand Del Mar. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
An ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. Call Star Protection Agency for your office building, shopping center, or construction site. Let Star Protection take care 24/7. They know what to do to protect your assets, or join the Star team. Need a threat and risk assessment for your business? Call 532-3911. 532-3911. Star Protection Agency, across Hawaii since 1991. Get Star Protection.
Our company has been in business more than 30 years, and we depend on Alakai Mechanical for everything. They maintain our air conditioners, sheet metal on our new roof. They just installed our new commercial kitchen. Doesn't matter if you're big business, a condo, or mom and pop store. If you want your job done on time, on budget, done right, do what we do. Call Alakai Mechanical, across the way. The best minds in air conditioning, plumbing, and sheet metal, that's Alakai Mechanical.
Hoipu Bay on Kauai's South Shore. Come share our home where the Grand Slam was played. Robert Trent Jones Jr. saw the mountains and felt the sea. Sure, great vistas and greens most people only dream of. Take the day off or do business with a bunch of your best customers. Come join the fun and the aloha at Poipu Bay. Call us for your tee time, where great golf is played every day at Poipu Bay. Wow, what a beautiful day. Let's go back in the clubhouse and listen to Danielle Tucker.
Makes me want to fly away. That's the Hawaiian Airlines jet to Portland, San Diego. That's where I just came from. San Francisco, that's where you could be going and staying at the Palace Hotel, because Hawaiian Airlines, the Palace Hotel in San Francisco, celebrating our 15th anniversary. It's the Golf Club Fly Away. And when you hear that wonderful noise of a jet taking off, that's the Hawaiian Airlines jet bound for one of its West Coast destinations. You dial 808-296-5467. If you are the ninth caller, you qualify to win a trip for two. That's right, for two people. You don't have to go by yourself. On Hawaiian Airlines, and you'll stay at the Palace Hotel for four nights. Okay. And when you go away, what are you going to want to do? You're going to want to enjoy the excellent cuisine about you. And you're going to want to know what to drink with that excellent cuisine. And to help us understand a little bit about wine, because we certainly can't figure it all out in the next 15 minutes, Angelo Ingrati, Addison Sommelier at the Grand Del Mar, Advanced Sommelier at Addison Restaurant, recipient of Wine Spectator's coveted Grand Award every year, Grand Award every year since 2009. Welcome to the show, Angelo.
Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. Yeah, you know, it's one of the things about, what, you have 35,000 bottles of wine on property?
We have 3,500 selection, and it's a fluid amount of selection. In terms of how many we have backup per bottle, it can range between a par of 1 to 12. So on hand, we have roughly around 36,000 bottles on property. But in terms of actual selection, we have around 3,500 selections.
Oh, I think that's going to keep me busy for a long time.
It keeps us very busy when we do inventory.
I bet. Okay. The Pinot Noir. Okay. I'm going to take a quote from Joel Fleischman of Vanity Fair, who described the Pinot Noir is the most romantic of wines, with so voluptuous a perfume, so sweet an edge, and so powerful a punch, that like falling in love, they make the blood run hot and the soul wax embarrassingly poetic. Or Master Sommelier Madeleine Truffon called the Pinot sex in a glass. That's speaking of, let's talk a little bit about Pinot Noir. In addition to it being the name of a wine, isn't it a grape?
It is a grape. It's a phenomenal grape. It's really difficult to make a good Pinot Noir. If you look at the price of some Pinot Noirs in comparison to most wines, they tend to be, especially the good ones, they tend to be a little bit higher. Because in the vineyard side itself, it's a very finicky grape variety. It doesn't want too much heat, doesn't want too much moisture. It needs to be perfectly balanced, and it can only be grown in certain pockets around the world, Burgundy being one of them, that makes some of the world's greatest Pinot Noir wine. So it's definitely a high-maintenance grape variety in terms of growing and making, turning it into wine. So that's where, I guess, all this love and all this appreciation comes when you do taste one that's really phenomenal.
Okay, the grape, the Pinot Noir, it's black, of course, is noir. Pinot is like the pine, the thick vine that it grows on. But in addition to you making Pinot Noir wine with that, it also makes like Chardonnay?
No, Chardonnay is a completely different grape variety.
Okay.
Pinot Noir is the name of the grape variety itself. And then they'll go ahead and they'll press the Pinot Noir grape.
Uh-huh.
And they'll get the juice from that. And they'll ferment it and they'll turn it into Pinot Noir wine.
Okay.
And it's the same thing that's true for Chardonnay. They'll take Chardonnay grape, press it and get the juice, ferment it, and you have Chardonnay wine.
Uh-huh. So I was, when I was reading about the Pinot Noir grape, another named wine then?
No.
No. Okay. All right. Then there's the Cabernet Sauvignon or the Syrah. Those grapes are a little bit hardier.
They are. Syrahs are a little bit more richer, a little bit more smoother in terms of the tannic structure. They can be, depending on what part of the world they come from, they can be a little bit more ripe and jammy, or they could have a little bit more smoky notes to them. Just depends on where you're buying the Syrah from, what region, and as well as Cabernet Sauvignon. For me, Cabernet Sauvignon is a little bit more richer, but definitely the tannins can be a little bit more fuller. So the texture on the palate is a lot thicker than some of the other red wines. So it's all these different grape varieties have their own unique characteristics and make them stick out.
When you're deciding what to drink with, let's say, red meat or fish, can you give us a little bit of just a basic idea of what we should be choosing?
Of course. Well, first and foremost, you always want to drink what you enjoy. And that's what we tell our customers at the restaurant. They always say, well, what do you recommend? And what I recommend can be completely different than what you like to drink. So I always recommend starting with what you enjoy. And then once we know what you enjoy, then we can branch out from there. Specifically, you know, the rule of thumb saying white wine with fish, red wine with meat. Nowadays, all this modern all cuisine becoming on a different scale, on, you know, they're putting the chef on stage, and everyone is being more aware of food and who's the hottest chef. Nowadays, they're pairing Pinot Noir with fish, you know, lighter red wines with heavier fish dishes. And they're even doing white wines with chicken dishes and white meat dishes, seeing what works really well. When I was in Germany, we would drink Riesling with sausage, and it worked phenomenally well. A white wine with sausage, you know, white wine with high acid, a little bit of sweetness to it. The sausage was rich and fatty, and they just cleansed each other. And it worked phenomenally well. You know, who would ever think to drink Riesling with sausage, but it worked.
I love it. That's the part, you know, where your taste, when I was talking to Bradley earlier, it's, you know, how you cook something, what you decide to put into it. There's a basic recipe, and then how you decide to make it, it's personal.
Exactly.
So it's kind of the same thing with wines. If you like the taste of a particular wine, there are certain things that you're going to want to follow, but basically it's what you prefer to have. There's, you know, don't let somebody look at you and be a snob and say, what do you know?
Exactly. Don't let anyone intimidate you. You know what you like, and just drink what you enjoy.
Yeah. Champagne. What kind of grape is used for champagne?
They have three grapes that they're actually allowed to use in champagne, three major grapes, and the first one being Chardonnay, the second one being Pinot Noir, and the third one is Pinot Meunier. And they both, Pinot Meunier is somewhat less used in the higher quality champagne. In the Grand Cru's of champagnes, they produce Chardonnay and Pinot Noir only. They won't put Pinot Meunier in the mix. But how it works is they just take the grapes and the juice, they ferment the juice separately from each three grapes, and they make a still wine like we would drink without bubbles. And then from there, they blend these wines together to create some type of taste that the house will dictate what they want the wine to taste like. And they go ahead and they undergo secondary fermentation in the bottle. So they'll take this still wine, put it back in the bottle with the addition of more yeast, more sugar, and it'll start a secondary fermentation in the bottle. And the bottle's closed at this point, so the bubbles, the gas created from fermentation, doesn't escape. And it gets suspended within the liquid molecule, or within the water molecule. So that's how it becomes carbonated.
So a Pinot Noir grape makes a clear juice, even
exactly.
though you usually think of it as a dark color. It can be a champagne. Now, there was a time, I don't know, I haven't had champagne in a while, Dom and Cristal, they were all the champagnes. What is the champagne to drink now?
Krug.
Aha!
Krug is the champagne. So entry-level Krug, just your basic entry-level Krug, is right up there with Dom Perignon and Cristal, and that's where Krug begins. And then Krug just takes it to the next level with their Krug collection, with their Clos de Manille, all their vintage Krug. They take champagne to the next level.
Aha, see, we learned something today, didn't we? Okay, one of my favorite times of the year, I think, is right about now when the Beaujolais comes out. To me, that's one of the most fun wines to drink. I don't know why, but a bottle or two of Beaujolais with a bunch of friends having dinner is just fun. Tell us about the Beaujolais.
I love that region. And when I was doing my sommelier training in Europe, we had the opportunity to visit that region, and it's a beautiful place. It really is phenomenal in terms of the grapes that they grow and the wines and the whole culture, the whole tradition behind the Beaujolais Nouveau and why it comes out this time of year. It was to celebrate the harvest. So they would grow the Gamay grape, that's the grape that they used in the Beaujolais Nouveau, and they put it under this process called carbonic maceration. What carbonic maceration does is they pump carbon gas into the vats where they're fermenting the grapes, and it allows the grapes to just explode. So it macerates them. And what it gives you is a wine that is very fruity. For me, it has this Jolly Rancher, this red Jolly Rancher flavor to it.
Yes, it has a Jolly Rancher sort of effect on the brain, too. It's kind of silly and fun. But let me ask you this. There are people who are very sensitive to wines, and I'm one of them. But when I was drinking and enjoying the wines at the Grand Del Mar in the Addison, I did not have the headache the next day.
You didn't?
No. Now, the question is, at what price point do we have to start drinking so that we don't have the headache the next day?
I don't think it's related to a certain price point, uh-huh, per se. But, you know, there's a lot of different things going on in the body that could react differently to wine. And I'm not a doctor. I don't really know the full terminology behind everything, but it addicts could be from a lot of different things. It could be an intolerance to breaking down the alcohol in the wine. A lot of people say it's the sulfites, and I mean, it could be the sulfites, but you know, sulfites you find in apricots as well. So if you're ever eating dried apricots and not received a headache from that, then it's definitely not the sulfites.
No, that must not be. Yeah, interesting.
So what I would say is, at most, if these problems do occur where you're getting headaches from wine, it's just to check with a doctor, because you know everyone says sulfites, but like I said, I don't think that's just the main reason behind it. There's a lot of different reasoning going on.
Interesting. We have about a minute left in the show, and I had a couple of questions. I wanted to ask you about the huge microbrewery industry that's going on in San Diego, but we probably don't have time for that. But something that my parents used to drink a lot was Chianti. What happened to Chianti?
I guess it lost its romance.
It's no longer sexy like the Pinot Noir.
Exactly. It used to come in that wicker bottle, and
yes,
there used to be some type of romantic gesture behind it, but I guess it lost it.
Yeah, it's just gone. I mean, how many bottles did you see candles stuck in? That's really dating myself. Thank you. Angelo Ingrati, is your dad in the music business?
He is not, no. He's okay. In the title business.
Okay, I just was curious. There's Angelo and his father have a CD out, and I thought, that's interesting. Angelo Ingrati, it's been a pleasure talking with you. You're fun. And I really appreciate your time. Certified by the Court of Master Sommeliers, studied at the German Wine School in Koblenz, Germany, where he earned a European wine certificate, and now he is advanced sommelier at Addison, a 5-star restaurant at the Grand Del Mar. Thanks for being on the show.
Thank you for having me. Thank
Absolutely.
You so much.
My pleasure. And it's time for us to wrap it up. I mean, I can't believe it. And Wesley Kira, you are our second qualifier for our trip for two, round trip to the West Coast, where in San Francisco, you will stay at the Palace Hotel for 5 nights if your name is drawn. Now, you can only enter once, okay, guys? Because I know you've got quick fingers on that phone. I want to thank our sponsors. Poipu Bay Golf Course, 18 championship holes, visually stunning. Nature and Robert Trent Jones Jr. combined to create a stunning venue. Golfers of all abilities, a unique, unforgettable golfing experience. Poipu Bay Golf Course, Kauai's South Shore gem. Star Protection for property threat and risk assessment. Protection for your home, your business, for your concert, for your special event like the Hyundai Tournament of Champions. Get the Star Team on your property. And Princeville's Prince Course, magnificent by nature, completely renovated greens and bunkers, and the clubhouse. The Prince Course, Kama'aina, unlimited Saturday and Sunday play, just $99, 826-5001. Princeville's Prince Course. Thank you for your mana. May you hit the sweet spot every time. I'm Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
You've been listening to the award-winning Golf Club Radio Show with Danielle Tucker on the Golf Club Network statewide. Tune in next week, and we'll tee it up together only on the Golf Club.
Copyright 2012.